Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to another episode of Early Work, the podcast in which I, Rhys James, will interview my guest all about the creative things they wrote when they were younger, usually a teenager. This week's guest is the absolutely incredibly multi-talented Jade Adams, who talked all things from her youth, such as being stabbed with mathematics equipment, having dodgy family members that didn't care for all her various ailments. She had precocious interests, but she had quite immature output. Those two things don't really marry very well together. But she's very funny in this. Her early work is genuinely absolutely insane. When you hear the reveal of how old she was when she wrote one of them, your heads will fall off. You'll have no choice but to rewind the podcast, listen again, double check she definitely said that. And then once you've checked it, you'll just be forced to give it 5 stars. So I hope you enjoy the podcast. Here it is with Jade Adams. Welcome to Early Work. This week, my wonderful guest, it is Jade Adams.
Hello, Rhys.
Hello, Jade. Jade, for the listeners, is probably best known for when she told me that I wasn't going to be able to get a free sofa on Twitter when I was tweeting a sofa company. I don't know how you remember
that.
Yeah, do you remember I was half joking, but not really. I was kept tweeting "Made," like, give me a sofa.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you were like, you just get me within seconds, I'm like, this won't work.
It won't work.
It didn't.
No, you need to be
standing up ever
you
since.
Need to be an attractive woman who like gets her vagina out and calls it activism
yeah.
to get a free made sofa. And then what you have to do is say, what I'll do is I'll pose with my free made furniture, but I won't do with the furniture what you're meant to do, which is sit on it. I'll do something wacky, like your adverts say. Have you seen the made adverts?
Why? What do they do on those sofas?
Balance on their furniture. There was one, it was a chair, and this woman's like stood on top of it with one leg off. The adverts are ridiculous.
Jade Adams, if you don't know her from the sofa world, you're also, maybe you remember her from the time we did a gig together in Oxford and she had to confiscate someone's phone who was filming me trying to deal with hecklers. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that either.
So I think some of your family were there. The gig was carnage.
Oh my God, it was the one my cousin turned up to.
Right.
I literally spoke about this weekend with my family from Bridgewater, who came and were really good as gold. But my cousin Michael really thinks he's adding. Like, he doesn't understand. I've had to tell him since, if you're coming to gigs, you're not to heckle anyone.
I don't think he was heckling that night. That gig was like absolute carnage.
I'm telling you, he was.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, he was very much disrupting the entire flow. Because I was going to try and hide from the fact that he was my cousin, but then he came back. I don't know if you remember this. He came back and put his, wherever we were, walked over to us all and went, all right, cuz, do you want a drink?
Where the comedians were hanging out at the back of the room. And then, you were trying to go incognito, as in like, oh, this gig's a bit of a mess. And family members of mine are potentially the cause of that.
Yeah.
Just keep your head down. Cuz as well.
Cuz.
I've never heard that in real life. They only like American teen dramas.
They never call me. A load of my family do this. They'll call me by the relationship they have with me, so people on the internet know they're related to me, so they have some sort of more right to talk to me.
Right.
So, like, I get called niece or I get called cuz. My sister used to call me sis.
This is like bad exposition, but in real life.
Yeah.
It's just exposition from a script.
Yeah, yeah.
So, actually, if you write a script that's full of exposition, it's really realistic.
Yeah, for me.
You're the only one who's got this excuse. It's really true to life, actually. Oh, good God. Right, Jade, if I had to guess what you were like at school, and go I do, because it's the first format point of the show, what I've written is... Sure of yourself, with no need for the approval of a group of jocks and cheerleaders, speaking of American teen dramas, probably ran for some sort of student leadership position like prefect, organised things. If someone fell over in the playground and people laughed, you would help them up. Really obsessively into something precocious and random like the TV show Mad About You or Luther Vandross. Is any of that true?
So, can I see the list?
Yeah,
so
sure.
I can tick it off. Okay, so... Sure of yourself with no need of approval of jocks and cheerleaders. Well, actually...
You were a jock and cheerleader?
No, I was neither. I was desperate for the attention of popular people.
Oh, really?
And there was a girl I could have had a really great friendship with, and because she just wasn't the loudest person in the room, because I literally ruined primary school for myself, and actually maybe the first 2 years of secondary school, because I went for the wrong people. But then... I fell out of everyone. I got stabbed in the leg by a compass by one of the girls at school because I'd fallen out with her. Basically, I've said this on another podcast, but they blamed me for lighting the school toilets on fire, but I didn't do that. So I...
Sorry, there's so much going on in this anecdote. First of all, you get shanked.
Yeah, but that's after the fire.
Secondly, we know that the reason is because of arson.
Yeah.
What fucking school did you go to?
One of the poshest comprehensive schools in Bristol.
No, this is in juvie.
But this was me and the three other roughest girls. It was us. There were no other rough people like us. One of the girls was from the local flats it was bad. And then the other three girls, we were just all of us were Bristolian, whereas a lot of the school weren't. The school tried to beat the accent out of me, but I stayed sick.
If anything, you've doubled down, I'd say.
I came home once and mum, and I said bath instead of bath. And my mum said, what did you say? And I went, bath. And she went, look, I've sent you to a nicer school so you can have a better education and you don't get bullied, but if you come home and change your words again, I will smack you around the head. You are who you are, don't ever forget it. That's what she said to me.
Who you are,
you it's are
too,
who you are.
Too on the nose for me. Who you are, it does, it sounds like someone doing an impression of your mum.
You are who you are, that's enough. So
no, the first bit not true at all.
Probably ran for some sort of student leadership position like prefect. Nope. Because what happened after I fell out with those girls was I was on my own eating my sandwiches and I was crying, and these two other girls from the music room came over, the music room nerds, and they said, do you want to come and join us? And at this point, my only sort of creative expression was freestyle disco dancing, which is the most culturally bereft form of dance known to man.
The bombs you drop... Just casually in conversation, like I'm not going to pick up on them and need more information. I don't think I've forgotten about the compass shanking and the fire that started in the toilets.
It's all
and now
true.
You want to bring up contemporary disco dance.
No, not contemporary dance is wicked.
Oh, what's
contemporary
this?
Dance is super arty. I'm talking little girls in skin tight lycra dancing to techno music for 2.5 minutes whilst you're judged by men that could have been paedophiles in town centre halls in Yeovil. That's basically what I'm talking about.
No wonder you set the toilets on fire.
But I didn't do it. They did that. So I'm sat on my own, and these two nerds come over and they said, do you want to come and join us? And I went into the music room and stayed there for the rest of school, and I learned how to sing. I learned how to play piano because I watched one of them play it for a year and then got down and played it. I've got a really good memory for skills. So I sort of watched her play for a year and then invited my mum and dad to a summer serenade where they thought I was going to sing in a choir, and actually sat on a piano and made my mum cry. And then about a week later, I had a keyboard at home. They bought me a keyboard. They were so chuffed that I'd done it.
Wow.
They're really supportive of anything else that I tried to do.
But the reason she cried is because the word bath was in the song lyrics and you said it like that.
Yeah. I don't know what song it was.
I'm so ashamed.
Say it's true, there's nothing like me and you. So I sort of changed my life because I hang out with these girls that I enjoyed the company of rather than thinking they were popular.
Yeah.
So that was when I was about 13, 14, I did that. But up until that point, I was going after all the people I thought I should. And it was not until...
Dead end.
Yeah, which is a dead end. Organise things? Nope, not at all.
I'm having a shocker, eh?
Terrible.
I normally do quite well on these. To be honest, this is one of the hardest ones. When I was like, okay, I've got to come up, what was Jade like at school?
I've changed
it was really 50-50. It was really... Well, often, what happens on this podcast is I go, oh, you're like this now, so therefore at school you must have been the opposite of this.
Yeah.
And then, like, for example, with Lolly, I was like, oh, you're really social now. I bet you were completely reclusive at school. She was like, no, I was always cool and popular and everyone loves me. And I was like, well, you're a dickhead. She needs to hear it. Tag her in this podcast.
Doesn't deserve to be a comedian if I'll be perfectly
fucking
honest.
Yeah, exactly. How have you not completely changed everything about you because of what happened to you at school?
Yeah.
How has that not been the result? So I thought, I just didn't know whether to go for... You're similar or you're the opposite, and I've blown it.
Well, if someone fell over in the playground and people laughed, you would help them up. I'm like that, and I will always be like that. So that's true.
Would that have happened when you were still trying to impress the popular people? Would that have happened?
I would have always helped people, yeah. I've always been helpful. I didn't... Helping people was more important than winning. Competitions were beaten out of me because of dancing, but if someone was in pain, I would be the person that went and helped them.
Yeah, and I knew that because you stopped me from embarrassing myself with that sofa.
There you go. Really obsessively into something precocious and random like the TV show Mad About You or Luther Vandross. You are so, so bang on.
Oh, really?
But it wasn't Mad About You or Luther Vandross.
Go on. I just couldn't think of the exact example. Go on.
It's Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, really? Yes.
I watch it every year now.
Yeah.
The whole series.
Really?
It's every series
year.
One. Every year.
God, how long does that take? Most of the year?
It's my switch off. So like when I get home for a gig and I need to wind down and get rid of my adrenaline... I sit and I watch an episode of Buffy.
And does it still hold up? Do you feel the same things you felt when you were... How old were you, would you have started watching Buffy?
It started in 1997, I think it was. It was in seven, so I would have been 12. Yeah, I didn't like... Season one's not great, but season two to season seven, mate, it's some of the best TV that's ever been made.
Yeah, and that was it a big influence on you?
Yeah, huge. Because I watched this woman save the world every week, and it was a big... the girl, one of the nerds that I... became friends with, we both watched it together, and then we'd phone because it was on Sky One between 8 and 10 o'clock. I would dominate the entire back room, no one was allowed to come in, and then me and Joe would be on the phone talking about what we just watched. And that happened for 5 years. I was 5 years of my life dominated by Buffy, and I had all the memorabilia, all the books. I know all the lines. I know all the characters. I know who the writers are. I know everything about it. I also love vampires and Dracula and all of that mythology. But I was huge into Buffy.
Have you done Celeb Mastermind?
Yeah, I would. Well, Jenny Ryan went on and did Buffy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, she's a professional quizzer.
Yeah, I know. It's not fair. But I would be very good on that.
Would you do Buffy? It would have to be Buffy.
It would probably have to be Buffy, yeah.
I think just risk it and go for Mad About You or Luther Vandross. Just see.
It'd be Buffy or Leonardo DiCaprio.
Really?
Yeah, I got loads on him.
Did you get into Leo because of Titanic?
Oh, no, it was Romeo and Juliet.
Ah, of course. Yeah. Sorry. I apologise. How dare I?
Yeah, it was Romeo and Juliet first and then Titanic.
Did you watch Romeo and Juliet at school?
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah. And I had all those feelings in front of other people.
Yeah.
Just, I want to be snogged in a swimming pool.
When you were at school, were you like creating things? Were you trying to write things? Because you said you were doing music and you learned to sing and stuff a bit older.
I got really creative once I met Joe and Hannah. So so I got in choir. So I was in a choir of Paul Potts from Britain's Got Talent.
Right.
He didn't go to our school, but he was part of the choir. Because if you wanted to get out of lessons, you just joined the chamber choir that used to sing in the church that was attached to our school. So we used to go and sing, Con Sancto Spiritu in Gloria. We'd go and sing Latin and shit like that. And
instead of doing school.
Any maths, yeah. I got a D for maths, classic. But guess what I got for music? A star.
Yeah, boy.
Which really upset Hannah, because she got an A. And so my GCSEs were, no one expected me to get them because obviously I had quite a difficult first couple of years at school. So it comes to GCSEs and I'd spent all these years hanging out with the nerds. So obviously my grades got better and I got a bit more interested in school. And then... they said, oh, we want you to open your results on television. The BBC are here.
No way were you one of those kids.
We want you to open them. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And they were like, Jade, we want you to open your results. And I was like, yeah, but what if they're rubbish? Jade, we would like you to open your results on television.
At this point, did you pick up?
I went, oh, I was still nervous.
Yeah.
And then I got it and I went through them and I'd got like a D for maths, but I didn't give a shit about that. But my all of my practical subjects I'd done really well in. And then I went, oh, for music, I got this funny little star thing. And because I'd only learned how to play piano like a year before, and I had nothing to do with music before that, my best mate shouted out, yes, that's an A star.
Were you writing anything when you were at school?
Yeah, loads.
What sort of stuff?
I wrote this really long story once that was about 150,000 words long.
Bigger than a novel.
I wrote it for years. Would get so excited about coming home, get on my dad's Galaxy 2000 PC, and I would carry on writing it. And then I'd come home and I'd get, that would be my thing that I, because I brought this up in therapy the other day. I was quite a lonely person when I was my whole life really. Because my sister had a lot of attention taken because for various reasons. Number one, she always, some boyfriend she had, and then she got sick. And then I was sort of the last child, and I just spent a lot of time alone, so I it meant that I created a lot because I was on my own trying to not be lonely.
Yeah.
And so I wrote this story and loads, and I wouldn't let anyone read it, and loads of stuff happened, and I basically had this character who was basically what I would, I basically wanted this character to be me, so I gave her the life I never had. And in one day, I grew up, and it was around the time I finally, because I had Barbies until quite late. Mm. Like, I didn't give them away for a very long time. And I was in my teens when I had to give up playing with dolls, but I didn't want to because I was so lonely.
They're adults who play with dolls.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember the day I had to give them up, and it was around the time that I'd sort of grew up, and I remember reading this story, and then one day, I just deleted everything.
Oh, fucking hell.
I deleted the whole thing.
You just got... Oh, wow.
150,000 words just gone.
I got to say, there's a part of me that's relieved because I thought if you're about to read me 150,000 words, this is going to be a long fucking episode. but that is gutting. You just got rid of the whole fucking thing. There could have been something in there.
I know. It's
page
all gone.
789. You might have got a little gag out of it.
Oh, fuck.
Reading back. Oh, I've got a new Edinburgh show in that line. Oh, thank you.
It's all right. I've got loads of ideas, Reese. I never need to.
Yeah, endless. An endless stream of ideas.
I'm a creative genius.
Well, you've lived a life.
I've lived a life.
It's clear you've lived a life setting fire to all this shit or claiming you didn't. Whatever, mate. Classic.
Might be Jimmy Learing it, aren't I?
But you wrote other stuff other than
I painted, I did paintings and that, but the things that'd be most useful for podcasting is I used to write poems.
Lovely stuff. You're one of the first people on this to join me in poetry.
Yeah.
I always seem to read poems. I don't intend to necessarily on this podcast. I just have to give at least one thing of my early work back to level the playing field of shame and embarrassment potentially, but all I seem to have is poems. So every single week I read a poem that I'm so embarrassed about and someone's done something cool. Like they've got like a story or a novel or a play or something cool like that. So it's good that you're a loser as well.
I've never read these poems out. So I don't know how anyone's going to respond to them at all. The only people that's read them is my mother, because she was the one who had to send them to me because she's kept them all. So she keeps...
They're handwritten?
Yeah.
So you've got got photos of handwritten poetry.
There, I've got photos. I got photos of some of the printed stuff as well. But I have got one handwritten one. But she keeps all of my stuff. My mum, she still does today. So she comes to see a show. She keeps a flyer for it, and so she has a scrapbook of everything I've ever made.
Mm.
And so when she's not around anymore, I have a complete and utter history of my entire creative life.
Wow.
She's kept everything, and also I've been filmed since I was born because Dad's always had a video camera.
Fucking hell. There could be a documentary about you today.
There could be one.
We could just
now.
Do it today. This is it.
This is it, man.
I think this is it.
This is the start of
I'll be one of the talking heads. Slagging off your GCSE results. Thank you.
Oxford Glee.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it was a tough gig and it was actually all her family's fault. But when someone filmed me having an absolute shocker dealing with a heckler, she was straight in to take his phone off him and delete the video, which I will always appreciate.
There you go.
Maybe you needed someone to do that for your dad filming you as a kid. Someone to swan in and delete the video.
No, I'm glad.
Are you proud
it.
Of the stuff?
Yeah, because I now think I'm good. So I love all the backstory.
Right,
I love all of that stuff. I don't. There are things that I get. I do cringe at some stuff. I can cringe at. old, you know, when Facebook shows you memories of things you've done in the past or the way that you've spoken. I've been recently reading some blogs that I've written, because I was asked by a newspaper to write something on the Catherine Ryan NMA thing that happened. I don't want to say the guy's name because I don't want to give him airtime for doing a bad thing. But where Catherine...
His name is Slow Tie. Continue.
Catherine Ryan handled it beautifully, but what everyone wanted to do is paint her as some sort of desperate victim. Mm. So a newspaper got in touch with me to write this thing, and I spent all morning writing it, and it was all about how Catherine literally isn't the victim, and she's like a really great comic, and she handled it really well, and she just handled it how any comedian would, and it was sort of like an empowering thing, like if we wanted women to be strong, like why don't we start writing stories about them being strong rather than, isn't it really bad how like women get picked on in comedy? Can you tell me a time where you've had to face sexism? So I wrote this great subversive thing, and then they didn't want it. They wanted the other thing. They wanted the thing about Catherine
being
a fucking...
Oh, they wanted you to do what they asked for in the email.
Weak-ass bitch, and I didn't want to write it.
Did someone write that?
I don't know. I don't think they... I think it was too late for the article to happen, and they really don't even want me to re-edit or anything like that. So it meant that I had to go back into my blog, because I'm going to post it anyway, and I've been reading blogs that I've written, and my God, I'm just moaning without any punchlines. That's all it is, isn't it?
You can win awards for that, mate. Are you embarrassed about these poems? You haven't read them. Will this be the first time you've read them back?
In a while, yeah. It's been ages since I've read them.
So you don't know. We're going to see if you're embarrassed live.
Yeah. So I've got... Hang on. Let's just have a little look. So I'm going to give you titles, and then you're going to tell me which ones you want to hear. So I've got a handwritten one that I did for my mum's birthday card with a picture.
Yeah, happy birthday, mummy. It's got a lot of colour on it and a drawing of her.
My mum, it's called An Ode to My Mum.
Okay.
We've got one called Flu Jab.
Great.
We got one called The Lonely Creature.
Oh, God, that feels dark.
We got Inconsiderate Relatives.
Experienced that firsthand.
And that's the four I have. I just want to check.
Okay, well, obviously, first I want to hear flu jab. Yeah, okay. I need to hear flu jab.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
The leaves are brown as summer has passed. I look out my window. I see no grass. It has been covered by lots of brown leaves. This time of year makes me sneeze. My hands get so cold. My nose is really runny. My mum makes me some lemon and honey. I think I do need, although I'm not glad, it's that time of year for my flu jab. Now I'm not looking forward to going to the clinic. As I'm 18, there's nothing that's in it. No stickers, nor sweets, or spoonfuls of sugar, or a nice nurse that makes me feel better. I sit in a cold chair whilst old people stare at the fact that I'm getting my jab. As I'm 18, my mum stays at home. As the nurse jabs it in, I let out a moan, and then in brackets I've put, arr! After I hold my poorly poor arm, as my arm throbs as that needle did harm, I'm given no candy, no bloody blackjacks. I hate this time of year for my flu jabs.
Unbelievable. Okay, my first question is this.
Yeah?
And this is me giving you the benefit of the doubt. Was that a poem written from the perspective of an 18-year-old? Or are you just reiterating that you were 18?
I was 18.
You definitely were 18. Trying to give you the benefit of the doubt, Jade. You had a get out the clause there. That is not the work of an 18-year-old necessarily. And I say that as someone who has read Not the Work of an 18-Year-Old throughout this whole podcast experience. I mean, you were shocked to hear that you were 18.
I thought I would have been much younger than that.
How old did you... From the first bit about leaves and grass, how old would you have expected to be?
13 or 14?
Yeah. 18.
Why the fuck am I writing that at 18 when I can go to the pub?
Well, there's no mistaking they would not have asked you to do that at school at 18.
No, I wasn't at school.
That wasn't a task, though. It wasn't like someone said, write a thing about flu jabs. You just did it. You just wanted to do it.
No one asked me to do that. At the age of 18, I was working at the Bristol Beer Cellar, sweeping floors and cleaning it so I could have sex with the boy that also did it, who was my boyfriend. So it must have been...
Oh, I know what was going through your head while you were sweeping that floor.
I had a boyfriend at the time of writing this. Why was I writing poems? Really bad poems.
It's not bad. It's just very specific. It's so specific.
It's so like your nan writing something for Take a Break, isn't it? It's like a poem from Take a Break magazine. It's absolutely, that's all, that's really bad. That standard wise, that's not a Jade Adams standard, mate.
So do you feel, so this is your reaction to it because you hadn't read it?
Yeah.
How do you feel in this moment?
I feel really embarrassed that that was what I was doing at 18 years old.
It's a lot of fun, that poem, but it does jar with me that you were 18 when you wrote it.
It's very young.
It does feel young.
I've got some severe arrested development stuff in my... until I think I was forced out of being immature because of stuff that is not fun for a podcast to talk about. And I've spoken about it on loads of other ones, so we won't do that. But I think I probably was quite immature for a very long time.
I want to hear another one.
All right.
I need something to compare it now, so I want to hear The Lonely Creature, please. Okay. Hopefully you mention your age in this poem as well, inexplicably.
So I don't, but I was younger when I did this. I
would have. Oh yeah, but that's what you'd say now.
No, I definitely was, because you can tell because I've put my name on the right-hand side
right.
of the poem.
Okay, fine.
Which is something which I haven't done on the flu jab. The flu jab doesn't have my name written on it, and it's written like I know at least how
it's centered on the page. I mean, it looks beautiful. The amount of white space around it, like it's really thought about.
Yeah. So The Lonely Creature, I thought I was going to write a book for children my age. I wanted to write like I didn't want to do poems and draw, because I draw as well. So I wanted to do illustrations and poems to do with monsters. So I wanted to come up with monsters who had probably personality traits that I also had, but like turn all of the worst things about me into like a sort of a creature, basically. Yeah. This is really depressing.
Great.
The Lonely Creature, Jade Adams. He sits and stares all day long, singing the same old tearful song. His mum and dad died when he was a child, with no friends or relatives because he's wild. His sad and droopy eyes are full of so many tears. They are sore and red from where he cries and cries. His coat is a very bright white, and his eyes are sparkly from the reflection of the bright light. He wishes upon a star, wishing for a chance of life, instead of saying at home to have a cry. Why shouldn't I have friends, he says. He sits and stares out of the window for days. None of that rhymes at the end. He wishes upon a star, wishing for a chance at life, instead of staying at home and having a cry. Why shouldn't I have friends, he says. He sits and stares out the window for days. That's what I've done there.
What you have done.
Yeah.
Is you have written the first half of a John Lewis Christmas advert. All you need to do is a little resolution where he makes a friend.
Yeah.
And you've got yourself an absolute 4 million view hit.
Excellent. I'll send it to John
You're
Lewis.
You're going viral. He's got all this white coat. He's lonely. He's in the wild. His parents died, so he never had a Christmas for a start. Right? And he's just in the wild. He's lonely. Beautiful white coat. Next thing you know, there's a man on the moon or whatever. I don't know, I've only ever seen one John Lewis Christmas advert.
Little ginger kid.
Yeah, get someone doing a little cover of a song that doesn't suit their voice.
Yeah.
That's great, it's a John Lewis Christmas advert.
There you go.
That's what I do want to say is that poetically is better than the flu one, which you did years later.
It's
more imagery, it's more interesting.
There's less reliance on rhyming couplets.
Yeah.
Which is always the worst way to write any poem or song, is to rely heavily on the rhyme.
Yeah.
I seem to have not really cared about that in that one.
You did the classic thing that they always do in poems at school that everyone was confused by, of says and days, whereas no one's ever said says, because that isn't how to pronounce the word, but it's in so many poems that you learn at school.
But rap music, they will change they will pronounce words differently to make it rhyme with the next thing. So like, basically, I'm a rapper.
Yeah, that's pretty rap. That's pretty rap heavy to me. That. Do you ever hear any raps called The Lonely Creature?
Yeah, bruv.
Actually, if you just take that as a acronym, TLC.
There you go.
TLC. And no scrubs, he's lonely.
Oh.
It all adds up. You wrote a John Lewis Christmas advert, and now you're going to have Lily Allen singing No Scrubs by TLC over the top of it.
Oh,
perfect.
My God. I can't
A little acoustic
believe...
version, a little soft. I don't want no scrubs.
A guy can't get enough of me hanging out the passenger side as his friends ride. Trying to holler at
John
me.
Lewis, if you're listening, we've got your next advert and I'd love a sofa. Right, I think I'd like to save your relatives poem.
For the
inconsiderate
end.
Relatives for the end.
It's quite long
for
as well.
Our big
so that's
finale.
That's a good one. That's
In the meantime, before we move on to my piece, I have to grade you on three categories. Those categories are number one.
You're such a little
number
shit.
One, originality. Number two, pure teen horniness. And number three, Mickey Mouse Club / Ryan Gosling, Ryan Goose score, which is how much potential does it show for who you went on to become.
Okay.
So originality, first of all, well, I've never heard anything like it.
So, what flu jab?
Bear in mind, both of them, the John Lewis Christmas Advert one predates John Lewis Christmas Adverts.
Yeah.
So it's clearly original.
Yeah.
The flu jab one is absolutely mind-blowing to me, especially because you keep going, essentially every other line is, by the way, I'm 18. In that poem.
Yeah,
it's so random that you say it. I know you're saying, so you don't even get any sweets for doing this flu jab.
There's yeah,
nothing,
that's...
You're saying there's nothing in it for me, which is funny, but I'm going to go 4 out of 5 for originality.
What, for flu jab?
For both.
For both?
Overall score, 4 out of 5.
That's very nice, thank you.
4 out of 5 for originality. Pure teen horniness, I would say there's almost none. Flu jab.
There is none.
Also, you did say that you were working at a pub at this time, just trying to bang your boyfriend the whole time, sweeping up.
Yep.
But so that you already had an outlet for your horniness, and that's how you were able to write such a medical-based poetry about standard procedures for the asthmatic. It's got to be quite a low score. I mean, one of them is about loneliness.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some... Horniness is the wrong word, but there's something in there, isn't there? I know it's about a creature, but as you said, you were trying to put stuff from your life onto these creatures as
yeah,
if they
well,
represented
I mean, it was
you.
Aspects of my... I basically wrote down all the things I didn't like about myself, and then I made a monster on each of them. So there's a lazy monster as well, which I wish I had to read to you, but we can't find it.
Oh, shit.
And it has a line in
it,
which is...
I bet you never typed it up. Classic.
No, we did. So it's typed up, but it's not saved on a computer because I'm older, so the computers I have don't all connect to each other. I have Gateway 2000. And I remember a life without computers. I used to... Like, I remember the first mobile phones that came out. But my mum has it somewhere. She's going to find it again. She said, you'll find it when I die. But there's a line in it. There's a lazy creature, it was called, and there's a line in it which is not at all clean. In fact, in his left ear is an old baked bean.
Oh, wow, that's great. That's lovely.
So they're not me. They're an aspect of my personality.
Well, that's, I mean, fucking hell.
There would have ended
that's
up being...
That's so original.
Thank you.
That's so great. Pure, it's not horny, though. Lazy is the opposite of horniness.
There's no horn in any of my...
I'll give it a 1, just because of the loneliness aspect. Mickey Mouse Club, does it represent your work now, who you've gone on to become? It doesn't remind me of anything you do now, really.
Do you know what? I think it does, because I think that the stand... Because stand-up, I love doing it, and I really like making people laugh, but the stuff that I really want to do is write great characters, and I want to write people that have... I want to write things that make people or move people not just through laughter but through tears as well. Like I can do that. So I think in terms of what other stuff I have going on that hasn't been announced or I haven't said anything about doing it, yes, it does reflect, especially the lonely creature.
You know what? Not many people try and change my mind, but you have. So I'll go 3. I'll give you a 3, Mickey Mouse Club.
Okay, great.
I mean, I'd never had a Dragon's Den sales pitch like that on this podcast before, but it has kind of worked. I'm going to invest, but I want to give you half the money for 70%.
Great, okay.
So I'll go 3. So that's an 8. 8 out of 15. Very respectable score. Now that means I have to read you one and then you have to grade me on it.
Oh, okay. Right.
This is not very long.
Yeah.
So the reason I've chosen this one is just because I was looking through some old documents and I found an opening line that is absolutely insane.
Okay, go on.
Okay, you ready?
Go on.
I burp in purgatory, urging the birds that I've hurt to be heard by me, but all the while flirting while nervously working to earn all their mercy, I chirps Kirsty. Kirsty was different. She never expected less than a kiss, but never requested much more. Just the faintest of knocks at my 4 o'clock door, a morning creep, just a creak on my floor. Not even a notch on the bedpost. Just all of the fun of a behind-the-shed boast after running the red coast and returning post-haste to debase all the rumours that had already said most.
How old were you?
15, 16. Those are the days...
You're a child star.
15, 16 is when I would get off with Kirsty all the time.
Well, I mean...
None of this is true.
Isn't it?
Well, some of it, I clarify stuff in this. Not even a notch on the bed. Like, I mean, 15, 16, I wasn't up to much.
Is it still, there's still more?
No. That's a different poem. I was considering reading, but I've decided not to. It's just too long. How original do you find it? I burp in purgatory. You ever heard that before?
No, I haven't. No, I think five out of five for that. Pure teen horniness.
How often are people burping in purgatory? You never know.
Pure teen horniness, 5 out of 5.
I mean, it's the horniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's literally about getting off with Kirsty.
Getting off with Kirsty.
Urging the birds that I've hurt to be heard by me. Yeah, I chirps Kirsty. So chirps was already out as a word.
What's chirps?
Chirps, chat up.
It's a little
slang term for chat up when I was youthful.
You're very clever, Reese. This wasn't that long ago, was it?
Oh, God.
Mickey Mouse. I mean, I would expect someone like you because you've been good at a young age, which you're clever, aren't you?
Oh, I'm the cleverest.
Yeah, you're really clever.
I'm so clever, yeah.
Yeah. So I've given you a 15.
No way. Yeah. The first ever 15.
You've got 15 for
everything. Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
I have real high hopes for you, Reese, and I think you're a...
High hopes? This is it. That might be the peak.
15, you're not, babe.
No, this is the peak.
No.
It's all been building towards the podcast on Radio X.
You're not, because everything that you are will need at some point to have a beard on it or like a pair of slippers, because you are and have been clearly from writing poetry like that had an old soul in you for a really long time.
I'm talking about chirps and Kirsty behind a shed.
Yeah, but the way you've written that, no, there's no 50. You see, when I was 18 writing Fluja.
Yeah, to be honest, it does feel a bit piss-takey to read that after your 18-year-old poem. It does feel out of order that I've read that, because it's just more densely rhyming. That's the only thing. It's as immature a premise, but I've tried harder to make it sound nice.
But it's the way that it flows and the way that you've rhymed stuff, there's a cleverness to that, which at the age of 15 you shouldn't really have that knowledge of writing poetry like that. It's just, look what I was writing at 18.
Yeah, but you'd written a fucking novel by then, 150,000 words.
Yeah, but you can imagine how shit that novel was, can't you?
Yeah, but you did it. This is a very short poem, if nothing else. About 20 words. So it's a 15. I cannot believe it. What an honour. So 15 out of 15.
Yeah, I'm impressed. With you being 15, I'm very impressed by that.
So I was 15. I got a 15 out of 15. Absolutely incredible. That means that it's 15 to 8, so I technically win the episode. But the point of the podcast is we're both losers. That's why I invited you here today, to remind you of that.
Yeah, great.
You're a loser. Now, please, will you play us out with your poem, Inconsiderate Relatives? Do we need any context for it, or should we just go in cold?
I've got similar themes in my poetry. I've just realised what this is about.
Is it about some relative sneezing on you and then you have to go get a fucking flu jab?
Yep.
No way.
I think this was written when I was 18. It's in the same style.
Well, if it was, we'll know about it, because when you were 18, you were rhyming a lot of things with the word 18. So I'm pretty sure we're going to hear, my relatives are so inconsiderate. By the way, I'm 18 at the moment.
Ever since I was little, I've always had an illness, a cold, a cough, an allergy, asthma or some eczema. It doesn't even rhyme. My family were always told, because I'd come to stay, that if they had any pets, they'd have to stay away. You see, I have an allergy to any kind of pet. If it's got four legs and fur, I'll be wheezing, you can bet. This Christmas, my mum has said that we're eating at my auntie's, but you'll never guess what she has bought, a bloody Pyrenees Mountie. So this Christmas, I will be at my auntie's Christmas dinner. I'll be sat, you can bet, with my nebulizer. My nose will be running, my chest will be wheezing, my asthma will be really bad. I'll bet you I'll be sneezing. So when my family eat their dinner with that bloody smelly dog, I'll be at the back wheezing with my eggnog.
Absolutely amazing.
Thanks.
It's so good. And now I see what it's all been about. It was all building towards that. It's the combination of all these things. I can't believe it's about the sneezing again.
Yeah, my asthma.
How inspired were you by sneezing? I know you had asthma.
It wasn't really about the sneezing. It was about my asthma was so bad with animals, and it was such a major inconvenience because everyone, and it's been a major problem, everyone's got a dog and no one can understand why you don't like their dog. And I don't like dogs because I'm allergic to them so badly that they put me in hospital and I nearly die from them. But people still don't understand why I don't. So my auntie's dog, it's massive. It's probably about four feet tall.
So this actually, how soon after that she got, so this is actually completely autobiographical.
Yeah.
Got this dog, you went,
lives
right,
in a shed in
I'm
going to
do something about this. Poetry. Yeah.
13 years ago, because that dog is 14.
Amazing. Did any of your family ever hear that poem?
No, they have now.
And what's absolutely the best thing about that poem is that at the time, you wouldn't have been able to read it because you'd have been wheezing all the way through. Incredible. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure.
Your early work has been fantastic.
Thanks.
Get your flu jabs, mate.
Yeah, no.
So there it was, Jade Adams. She doesn't have the flu. Can't stress that enough. She doesn't have the flu. Though she did sneeze on me, and I have been in hospital ever since. She currently has an Amazon Prime special you can go and watch. I believe it's called Serious Black Jumper. She's also on tour with a show called The Ballad of Kylie Jenner's Old Face. They are the same show. But, you know, go and watch it live, buy a ticket, jadeadams.com, and then go and relive that wonderful evening you had by watching it on Amazon Prime. Anyway, make sure you give the podcast a review on Apple or wherever you get it. Review it, give it 5 stars, or keep it to yourself. And also, pass the pod. That's something they do on the Peter Crouch podcast, and that's like the biggest podcast. Pass the pod is what they say. And what they mean is, if you like it, pass the podcast, that's what pod's short for, by the way, onto a friend, right? And then a friend will pass it on to another friend, and it'll go, well, I don't want to do that. It's going to take too long. Pass the podcast to Peter Crouch is what I'm asking you to do. Get Peter Crouch to listen to it, okay? He's got a big following. He recently faved one of my tweets, so he definitely already knows who I am. Get Peter Crouch. That's the campaign. Pass the pod to Crouchy and then watch Crouchy nod it in at the back post. That's what we're doing on this podcast. Pass to Crouchy.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.